For those who are complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance, and yet who look down their noses at the common people, Jesus told this parable. If I didn't know better, I would think Jesus' parable sets a trap for us. Because when we hear that parable, we want to be the justified tax collector, because we have come to believe that Pharisees are narrow and legalistic hypocrites. But wait, to hold that belief sort of sounds like the Pharisee, doesn't it? The parable is not a trap to catch and condemn us as Pharisees. Rather, it is a trap that stops us and brings us face to face with the reality of our life and with our relationship with God. You may not pray like the Pharisee, but have you ever expressed those kind of opinions in conversation? Have you ever kept those thoughts to yourself in silent self-righteousness? The one thing we cannot, in all honesty, say is, thank God that you and I am not like that Pharisee. And if we do say that, then our own words condemn us. They become evidence that that is who we are. But that's not who we want to be. When I listen to the Pharisee's prayer, I can't help but wonder what is really going on here. What's underneath all of that? Look at me, look at what I do, what I have, and who I am not like. His prayer is directed not so much to God, but to himself. He's not describing his faith or his spiritual practice. He's keeping score. Anytime we begin keeping score of our own life or the life of another, we need to know something deeper is going on. Scorekeeping is the way we either deny or try to overcome the feeling we have of emptiness, the loss of meaning, the brokenness of our life. It is a symptom that we are standing on the threshold of, well, death. We use it to deny, to escape, as a way of convincing ourselves that we're okay. Our life is just fine. That's what the Pharisee is doing. I'm not a crook, I'm not a rogue or a womanizer. I do not extort money like this tax collector. I only follow the law and I exceed its requirements. I'm a good, faithful Jew. He probably was. I do not doubt that what he says is true. The problem is that when we think we have everything, we have all the answers, the doctrine, the law, the piety, reputation, success, stuff. When we think we have all the requisite number of points, then we have no need of God. We have no need of resurrection, and we choose to remain dead. This parable is not about the bad Pharisee and the good tax collector. The people of Jesus' day would have seen it just the opposite. Pharisees were respected and educated and pious and faithful and holy. They did what was right. The tax collector, however, was the worst kind of crook, a legal one. He colluded with the Roman Empire to extort money from his own people. He was a bad guy, despised and feared. From the outside, the Pharisee and tax collector seem very different. They are not, however, as different as we might think. For on the inside, They're both dead. They're both lost and broken and in need of God. The difference is not their place in society. The real difference is that the tax collector knows he is dead. The Pharisee does not. The difference is that the Pharisee keeps score, and the tax collector cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, one who is missing you, one who is in need of you, one who has nothing apart from you. Scorekeeping blinds us to our own death. This parable is the invitation to stop keeping score, to acknowledge and hold before God those dead places in our lives. You know, the failures and disappointments, the breakups and breakdowns, the emptiness, the sufferings, the addictions, the places of our life where we no longer dream dreams or have visions. That's what the tax collector did. The tax collector went home justified, not because he was good or better than the Pharisee, he wasn't, but because he offered God a dead life and not a scorecard. God did not withhold anything from the Pharisee. God simply gave him what he asked for, nothing. For the tax collectors, God's mercy has opened the door to a new life, a new world, a new self-understanding, a new relationship with God. We don't know what happened after he got home, but we know this. There was a choice now lay before him, the choice to walk into his own resurrection. That does not tell us how the story ends. It tells us rather how it might begin, the beginning of a new story. A new life is a choice God sets before each one of us. It is a choice we make every time we start to tally up the points. It is a choice we make every time we cry out for mercy. Amen.